Leah Marquez.
So we're going to jump into our top 10 best and my top 10 worst with one worst movie of Chris's.
Yes.
And we're going to see how this goes. I think, Chris, start the shit off.
Okay, so we were realizing that some of our lists, like our selections might interlap as far as movies go, because we, I mean, there's not a lot of great movies out there.
Exactly.
So what we're going to do is we're going to count up from 10 to number 1. Mm-hmm. One being the best, obviously, and we're just going to compare what our number 10 selection is, number 9 selection, number 8, and so on, up until we get to our number 1 movie, and explain it a little bit.
Exactly.
So it's more of a free-flowing conversation.
Yeah. So if you want some Rex, stay tuned. They're coming.
All right. So. You want to go first?
Okay. my first one is, I think it's number 10 because I saw it so early on in the year. Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, number 10 right there. Thought it was very cool. Might be one of his best. It's a way more mature Wes Anderson movie than anything else. And stop motion just looks fucking great. It's a little racist, a little a little white savior-ish. But overall, anything with the dogs is really cool. Anything with a stupid white girl is fucking dumb.
Wow. Okay. Well, I didn't see that movie, but I really want to. I considered that one like a movie of last year, but I guess people are considering it this because it's getting nominated for
I think it came out in February or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, my number 10, Eighth Grade. I feel like I have to put this one on the list because it did. I remember how much it fucked me up like on the way back when I thought about like what I was like in eighth grade and the people I hung out with. And it's like, dude, that's such a... It's not really talked about, but it's such a big year for us. It's like the year before you become kind of a man or you become a young adult, you know? And it's like it's like right at the peak of like awkwardness and or at least like kid awkwardness and like it's actually, you know what? My bad. It's the start of the awkwardness. Mm-hmm. It's like you're not a cute kid anymore. Now you're getting pimples. Now you're kind of getting chubby and it's
you're
like
just, you're like your body doesn't fit you.
And exactly. And so when I watched that, I thought, like, whoa, like, I remember being just as cringe in eighth grade, if not worse, as the girl, Elsie Fisher. And, you know, for a first movie from a comedian,
good.
Really, really well done. So that one, I think, deserves a little bit of accolade for that for me.
My number 9 is Eighth Grade.
Wow.
Yeah. Very, I agree with what you said. My favorite things about it were, like, anytime someone was like LeBron James, that shit was funny. I have a 13-year-old nephew, and her main love interest is exactly like my fucking nephew.
That kid,
yeah. And I was just like, dude, Bo Burnham understands kids so well. Like he knows how the culture is right now, which is like super. Like they're on Instagram. They're just technologically savvy at such a young age, and I haven't seen such a authentic representation of like young kids. Like I don't even think I can do it, and somehow he fucking did it.
That's exactly why I put it on my list too, just because I'm like especially that conversation at the end with her and that awkward kid. I'm like, dude, this is too authentic.
Fucking Rick and Morty, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And like the little love a dub dub. I was like, oh, cringe.
Like so cringe, dude.
All right, my number 9, which I'm sure will be an Angel's worst pick, is Halloween.
Wow.
I've said everything I needed to say. Fun movie. Great times.
Sure.
Michael Myers in theaters again. Fuck yeah.
Sign
me
Fuck
up.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that. Michael Myers is back.
My number 8 is going to be mid-90s. Mm. Jonah Hill's skateboarding movie.
Yeah.
Very cool. After like... just reflecting on it, I think it's just like it deserves to be in the top 10. It wasn't as amazing as I first thought, like when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Like I see more of its flaws the more I reflect on it, but I think the actors were pretty good in general. The fucking main kid, holy
he's
shit.
Wonderful.
Fantastic kid. Fantastic acting all around. Yeah, it was just a fun time.
Nice. My number 8 is Blindspotting.
Boom.
I know we've talked about how, like, looking back, there might be some, like, I guess, what's the word? Like, writing issues with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But overall, like, that's the movie that I think is, like, one of the more... I think it's going to, like, live on past just the year. I think it's going to grow, like, a cult following. You're going to see people wearing those jumpsuits that they
Dude,
wore when they were moving.
Yeah.
And it's just... It was a fun time. Wonderful debut from the filmmaker, too. It's just good. It's a great movie. The climax of the movie... It's interesting because it's very... I remember the first one I watched it, like, I almost, like, threw my head back, like, That is weird. But really? But like I remember it. I'm like, but they were doing it. It didn't feel totally out of place. I just didn't expect that to end that way, because I did remember throughout the movie they did like their little, you know, their little thing. And so when it ended, I'm like, okay, I guess that's payoff. So sure. Great movie. Fun time. A lot of laughs with that one too, nice. Especially.
Number seven is Blind Spotting. Boom! Hey, slow down. Grab the wall. Wiggle like you're trying to make that ass fall off. Dude, gas Oakland. Pedal. Dude, that shit was so... It was, every time that song came out, I was like, I'm fucking in. Those slow-mo scenes of them getting out of their moving truck. Fuck, man. It was so dope.
Nice.
I loved it. Great time.
My number seven, I just saw this today. I'm putting it on the list.
Oh, shit.
To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Wow.
Talk about a fucking charming, beautiful, modern-day John Hughes movie. It's just so fucking well done. Mm-hmm. I was telling Angel, last year, a movie came out called The Edge of 17 with Hailee Steinfeld, and everybody was raving, dude, this is different. You got to watch this. It's not like other teen rom-coms. So like, all right, I'll watch it. And I watch them like, it's exactly like the other teen rom-com. I watched this one because everybody's been raving about it. And like people, like, you know, that guy Noah Centineo blew up after this. But it just, God, this is one of those few movies that I'm like, yo, this deserves every piece of hype. Mm-hmm. Charming, incredibly shot. I was saying like, dude, did fucking Paul Thomas Anderson direct this shit?
Every single frame, every shot, every like blocking setup blew me away.
I'm pretty sure they shot this on anamorphic lenses, and it shows. Yeah, it's dude, fucking
just, the colors, everything's so fucking good. I was like, you can mute this movie and I'll have a good time.
Yes, yes.
It's that good looking.
I cannot recommend it enough. It's mm-hmm. it's wonderful.
Watch it on the biggest screen you can.
Please. Shout out to the actors, Lana Condor. Yeah. Condor. Lana Condor. I fell in love with her. I thought she was incredible. And no, Centennial was wonderful. Shout
out Jubilee.
Too. Jubilee. So to All the Boys I didn't think it was gonna, I did not expect that to make my list, but it's there.
There it is. Number six for me. Number six.
Number
like,
six.
Like those fucking YouTube videos. Black Klansman.
Ooh.
Fucking what a thrill ride this fucking movie, man. It made me laugh. It made me fucking angry. That shit was so cool. Fucking Spike Lee's back, baby.
Yeah,
Spike Lee has not been making very good movies recently. Mm-mm. But he pulled out all the stops on this shit, and it was fucking dope. Based on a true story, some great shots, great acting. Adam Driver can do no fucking wrong. Mm-mm. Adam Driver is killing it. And Denzel Washington's son was also fucking fantastic. And Eric Foreman was really fucking good in it too, dude.
David Duke, yeah.
He was fucking great in it.
I like that movie a lot.
Damn.
What is number seven? My number seven, Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, I think that was number six.
Oh, excuse me. My number six is Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, talk about a rock concert of a movie. That movie, look, I know people are giving it shit because it's not factual and whatever. I'm like, look, I've stopped expecting biopics to be 100% factuals because, look, you gotta take some fucking, like, you know, creative liberties with it. Mm-hmm. All I care about is, does it capture the essence of the music? Is it fun? Is it entertaining? And is it well performed? And it was all those things mm-hmm. and more. And, of course, the songs are fucking awesome.
So you think you can stop me and spread my eye?
Fucking someone still loves you. Rami Malek.
Boom, 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 boom.
Rami Malek. You know, I didn't think I would say this, but because I found him obnoxious before this movie, but... unwarranted. It's one of those unwarranted hates. Like,
you just don't like his face.
His face just kind of bothered me, but... He really earned my respect for this. I'm like, yo, like, I honestly think he should win Best Actor.
Dude, watch Mr. Robot, and you're going to fucking love him.
All right.
Trust. All right, we're at number five.
Ooh.
I completely forgot I watched this movie, and once I saw it on my list, I was like, obviously, this is going to be on my list. Won't You Be My Neighbor? The fucking Mr. Rogers documentary. Doc. Damn. I remember seeing the trailer for it, and the trailer made me tear up. Mm. It was so well made. His voice... just makes me fucking cry, dude. Like, he has such a compassionate, soft voice. And just seeing his whole life, how all he wanted to do was just, like, good. And how he dedicated his life to fucking nurturing and rearing, like, children.
Yeah.
It was fucking... I was like, dude, I can't do that. Like, this dude just dedicated his whole life to better everyone else. And, like, what a fucking great human being he was. And... it was fucking beautiful.
Did you say rearing children?
Yeah, rearing means like to race and like.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
Because I'm like, wait, did I hear that right? Rearing children.
Yeah, rearing children. Okay. You've never heard that term?
No.
Well, it's new to me. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, I guess so. It sounded just weird. Okay. Yeah, really. Number five for me, and Angel's gonna love this.
Way to ruin a fucking great moment.
That's why I didn't interrupt you. I waited till the end. Okay. I'm gonna get ready for the roast. Number five, Bad Labor.
No, you did.
Yes, I did.
Oh my god.
All I'm gonna say.
Why? Hey, at least you didn't put it number one.
No, it's not number one. I will say Bad Labor's on here just because I'm glad that we fucking finished it and it's out in the world. That's like, that to me is like, I gotta throw that on the list, dude, because like I always dreamed of it being on somebody's list. I'm like, you know what? Why not fucking put it on mine?
He's like, I have the opportunity to. Suck it, David Diggs. Suck it, Bo Burnham. Bad Labor beats them all.
I mean, it is a better movie than those, I will say, and more iconic. I gotta say. But I did enjoy those movies, and that's all I will say about Bad Labor. There.
Boom, because he's already said it. Don't listen to the Bad Labor episode.
What's more to be said about that movie? Exactly. Back to you.
All right, number four, The Favorite. Oh my god, I hate Yorgos Lanthimos.
I was gonna say, wait, what?
So fucking much. And I went into The Favorite.
He kept talking shit.
I was like, this is gonna be a piece of shit movie. Because Yorgos Lanthimos sucks. The Lobster sucks. Killing of a Sacred Deer sucks.
You're going to get messages after this.
And so I was like, let's go into this third shitty movie. Wow. And I fell in love with it.
Yeah,
and I left with a mix of love and anger. Because I was like, God damn you. I can't say it wasn't a good movie. It fucking was.
I'll never forget. Angel comes out and he goes like, fuck. I love that.
Yeah.
And he got so mad.
I was so pissed. I was like, now I can't talk shit. It was such a good movie. So that's all I'll say about it. Nice. Fucking fantastic movie.
Number four for me. This was my number one, but it's been dropped down to four. No particular reason. It's just there have been better movies. Or just movies. Not better movies, but there have been movies that have affected me in a more positive way. But my number four pick is Suspiria.
I knew it.
Suspiria, dude, what a fucking ride that movie was. It was horrifying. It was a slow burn. I remember at some point I thought, like, dude, like, this is like, why did they even remake this? But when it gets to just like the heavy stuff, like the really like fucked up shit, you're just like, whoa. And there's just, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but there's an incredible scene at the end, and all I'm just gonna say is like, red, and I'm like, fuck, this looks amazing. This is shot damn horrifyingly. And I just remember me and Brandon, we couldn't stop I went to see my brother, we could not stop talking about this movie like the entire car ride home. And I was like, yo, I think this is my favorite movie of the year. And go see it again, big screen, friends. This is the scariest movie of the year for sure.
Suspiria. I think I'm a burp. That's a very quiet one. Number three for me, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Boom. How the fuck did this movie get so good?
How did Sony make this
movie? How did Sony make such a bomb ass movie? It's everything you want in a fucking Spider-Man movie times like 10 times, however many Spider-Man there are in this movie. It's fucking fantastic. Every character, perfect voice actors, tying it back to Haley Steinfeld's in this movie too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Fucking sorry, Edge of 17 sucks. Yeah, but fucking Nicolas Cage, dope ass.
What a great surprise. Yeah,
fucking fantastic. One of the best end credit scenes ever, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yes.
Fucking cannot wait for part two.
My number three is The Favorite. dude, just what a fucking... Again, I never do period pieces. Like, I stopped after I had to stop watching them in class. Like, because like, that's the only time I'd ever watch a period piece, like, when they play it in class. I'm like, oh, God.
This shit.
And I remember, like, when I watched, like these trailers for, like, this, or, like, Mary Queen of Scots, I'm like, yo, like, this is only for white people. Yeah. I'm like, the only white people like this shit.
The story of my people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I have no interest in seeing any of these movies. And then, you know, we went to go see The Favorite because I knew that it was directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, and he made The Lobster and Sacred Deer, and I hadn't seen those movies, and they raved about so much. I just remember, like, when I walked in, I was like, I just remember some point in the middle, I'm like, I'm really enjoying this. And we all look at each other, and we didn't say anything, but we were just in it.
Yeah,
we were like,
fucking in it.
And
we're super stoned.
And best, that might have helped.
Yeah, I think so.
But no, it's a fucking fantastic movie. Emma Stone has never impressed me with acting. I always thought she's fine, but she was great here. So was Rachel Weisz, who's obviously always amazing. And The lady who played the queen, her name's Olivia. Her
name, Olivia.
Olivia, yeah, something.
Fucking fantastic. And incredible. Everything she's done with BBC is fucking amazing. And I'm a shout out, a secret shout out to the show called Broadchurch that she's in. Amazing.
Nice.
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, go see that movie. Don't be fooled by its period piecesness. It is as modern as any other movie you're gonna see this year, believe it or not.
It's fucking great. And it's super weird.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. We're up to top two. Woo-hoo! Number two. Roma.
Me too, Roma. Dude. Okay, we can talk about this.
Dude, number two. Okay, we're going to have a back and forth. God. Number two is Roma.
Yes.
What a fucking movie.
Yes.
Another movie that you have to fucking see in theaters just to appreciate the fucking scope of this shit. The filmmaking that went into it, the authenticness that went into capturing Alfonso Cuarón's fucking childhood.
He's a master, dude. Yeah. And I was telling you this. I think what I loved the most about this movie, I told you, because like everybody, not to his face, I'm sure, but like we even talked about this with Marvin. Like people were kind of giving him and Iñárritu shit for like, oh, these big time Mexican directors get so much praise, but they're not casting any Mexican people in their movies. And what does Cuarón do? Like, right, he casts the most Mexican looking, what's indigenous woman to be the lead of this movie.
And he has the balls to have her speak in her indigenous language, yep, too, which was like, right, fuck yes, dude. And guess what? People are still giving him shit, dude.
Why?
Because they say shit like, oh, this white Mexican makes a movie with the fuck, like, instead of letting the indigenous person tell their own story, he has to appropriate their culture and tell it through his white Latino lens. It's just like,
you're never going to please anybody. Yeah, that's, dude, the epitome of,
exactly,
that.
Exactly, dude. Everyone's going to get pissed off at everything you do, and nothing you do will ever be good enough.
Do what you love.
But
do
fuck
it. Do it with good intentions. Like, I just know and I felt Cuarón did when he made this movie.
Yeah, he wasn't like, you know what would be a great story? My nanny story. I'm going to tell that shit.
And I could steal that from them. Yeah, it was exactly. Not like, he's just like, and this lady, Libo, has been in his life, and he's put her in a couple of his movies and little cameos. Like, dude, this is just a love letter to that and to his childhood.
And fuck anyone that doesn't see it. Roma's amazing. Fuck you.
Please go see it. It's fucking amazing.
Dang, I don't know what your number one is. Do you know what my number one is?
I don't. No, I can't guess. But I will say one more thing. I remember after Roma, I remember when I finished it, I'm like, that was good. And on the ride home, I just started thinking about my mom, and I just started crying the entire drive back.
I've talked to multiple people that have had delayed reactions to that movie where it's just like, hey, I didn't start crying until after I finished it. And I was like, dude, me, same. Because you just think about it and you're like, fuck, dude. I think it's just so much that you can't react until you have to step away from it to fucking react to it.
I drove right to her house and I gave her a hug. I said, Mama, I love you.
Dude, this is fucking beautiful, dude.
Please go see it.
All right. Here's the number one. My opinion. Best movie of 2018. What could it be? Avengers Infinity War, fuck, dude.
Of course.
Avengers Infinity War is like nothing that has ever been made before. There is
That's true. There's nothing that
you can compare. This shit is on an entirely different level than all the movies I talked about and all the movies I saw this year. Nothing made me feel like Avengers Infinity War did. It was like, fuck, dude, it was like everything I had been waiting for.
Wow.
Since watching Iron Man, everything came together, and I remember leaving the theater being like, not only is this the best fucking superhero movie of all time, this is not even a movie, this is a fucking experience, and nothing will ever compare to this movie and my experience watching it. And just for that, it takes the number one spot.
It was a fun time, and it did serve for a great meme. The Mr. Stark, dude, I don't feel so good.
Dude, so you get so much traction from that movie, but damn, man, when that shit dropped, it was like...
It was monumental, for sure.
It was super monumental.
For sure.
I was like, because there's no debate in my head. Like, Avengers Infinity War, regardless of all the artistic movies I saw this year, like, that shit is number one because of how invested I am in this world, in these characters, and how I'm gonna continue to be invested for the next 10, 20 years.
Wow.
And how the fuck does a movie do that, you know?
Well, I guess I can't bag on that too much because my pick is a Marvel thing. Spider-Man Into the Universe is my number one movie.
Into the Spider-Verse?
Into the Spider-Verse. What did I say? Into the Spider-Man?
Into the Universe.
Into the Universe. No, Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, Spider-Man's my number one.
Number one.
You know, I don't remember. It made me a kid again. you hear that so much, and I never understood that. I guess I was still kind of a kid, you know, like when I'd watch movies, but like for the first time I was like, I even said this to you after, I'm like, now I remember why I like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Now I remember. Like, I totally forgot. Like, I got muddled in the cynicisms of the reboots and like the different casting and how people now like go back and talk shit. Oh, Tobey Maguire's a dork. I'm like, ugh. And
it's fucking great, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And watching this is just like, fuck. And I remember I told you, like, dude, Spider-Man, this new Spider-Man speaks Spanish. Yeah, like, dude, that's fucking crazy. And I just, it was the best time I had in this. Mm-hmm. There wasn't, I guess not sadly, but I didn't, you know, not every year can be like last year was for good time where that movie, like yeah. an artistic movie just fucking takes over your entire being. But this was not a nice reminder that, you know, like sometimes they can make something fucking great if they put the right filmmakers behind it. And surprise, surprise, the people behind what would have been their version of Han Solo, but 22 Jump Street and the Lego Movie were behind this
shaking
one.
Shaking my damn head.
They of course, they're geniuses. And, yeah. And they pulled all the stops. They fucking made a great movie. Groundbreaking soundtrack, groundbreaking fact that
animation,
it's a brown, animation, fucking the fact that it's a brown Spider-Man.
Chris thought we needed 3D glasses for the movie because they do this weird shit with the backgrounds and they make it look out of focus, but in like a 3D out of focus.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, I cannot speak any more highly of that movie. Like someone said, you can't overhype Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's just that good. And I'm like, all right, let's see. And I'm like, you can't.
It is motherfucking true.
You can't overhype it.
It's fucking true.
You can only just say, please go see it. Go support it because it's fucking amazing.
Great year for, I'll say great year for comic book movies, but there was also a lot of bad ones.
Yeah.
And that's going to transition us to this next section.
Nice segue.
Of worst movies. Let's put all the good vibes in the past because I got some shit to say about some shitty ass movies that came out this year.
Run your shit. I want to hear
this. I'm going to say five and then you say yours.
Okay.
And then I'll top it off with the next five.
Okay.
It's going to go from like least insulting to most insulting for me. So number 10 for me, Ant-Man and the Wasp. That shit was just so boring, so forgettable.
I agree, but I didn't hate it.
I don't hate it either. That's why it's at number 10. Okay. But it's like one of those movies that I was like, what a waste of time. I got nothing. Like, the state of not only Ant-Man's world, but the state of like the Marvel universe in general stayed exactly the same from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. And then the movie. And I don't think it added anything to the larger narrative of the Marvel universe. And it wasn't as fun as the first one.
Mm.
It's kind of boring. They introduced a lot of forgettable ass characters. Like, what the fuck's the name of the main villain of Ant-Man and the Wasp? Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I mean, even as if she's like disappearing. And
yeah, some disappearing person. Even though the first villain wasn't very good, his name's Yellow Jacket. You always remember, you know.
Yeah.
So that sucked. Another movie that kind of sucked. A little. I would say a little more just because I just thought it was fucking boring too. The Miseducation of Cameron Post had fucking
the fuck is
Chloe
that?
Grace Moretz in it. It was about gay conversion. She goes to a conversion.
Oh,
camp.
Right. That went to Sundance. Yeah.
That shit sucked, man. It was so boring. And I was like, people were raving about this movie. And then fucking Boy Erased is about the same thing.
Mm.
But I was like, this shit sucks. There's a very like graphic scene towards the end of the movie. And I was like, well, you didn't set this shit up. Like, you fucking dumbasses. It's completely different from everything you've showed me. It ends in a dumbass way. And I was like, if they're going to end it right here, I'm going to be fucking pissed. And they end it. And it's like, well, fuck you, movie. And I left the Lemley in Pasadena super mad.
Wow.
I'm having a lot of fun.
This is great.
Another shitty movie that came out towards the beginning, Annihilation, with fucking Natalie Portman.
I didn't want to see that.
Fucking, that shit was so infuriating because the director of that movie made Ex Machina, and that shit was one of the best movies of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and makes a boring, dumb, nonsensical, slow-paced piece of shit like Annihilation. And I was like, this movie is supposed to be amazing and you didn't do it, and it was confusing and stupid.
Wow.
And you fuck you, whoever you are, I forgot your name.
I avoided director. That it's like Alex Garland.
Yeah, Alex Garland. You what the fuck did you do?
Yeah,
dumbass.
I avoided that movie. That did not look interesting.
Another movie that pissed me off, Deadpool 2. Fuck, man. Deadpool 2 was like, hey, let's take the worst parts of Deadpool 1 and do them three times.
Okay, what do you mean by that? I didn't understand it the first time. What were the worst parts of Deadpool
2? They took out all the heart of the first one. They started off in the most cliche way possible, Deadpool 2, with like his girlfriend getting killed in a very slow-mo segment. It's fucking, I was like, this is the shit Deadpool makes fun of, and you're doing it for real. You know, like in the first one, Deadpool will be like, oh, what's gonna happen, is my girlfriend gonna, like, he'll make fun of that. But in this one, they do it so seriously. They have that stupid James Bond intro. And I was like, dude, this isn't funny. Like, I don't know. They just lost something in translation from the first to the second one. I will say, though, they have an amazing section of Deadpool 2 with the fucking X-Force that I did not expect. And I'm glad that that happened.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty funny. Yeah.
I was like, dude, that's fucking genius. I was like, that's such a Deadpool thing to do.
Yeah.
But they lost so much. They added more shitty... what's his name from
oh, the tin guy?
From Silicon Valley. Yeah, what's his name?
Oh, the Indian guy?
No, from Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. The
blonde guy.
TJ Miller. Yeah. TJ Miller.
They added more TJ Miller, who I thought he fucking sucked in the first one. They like did everything again. Like, I think Deadpool loses his legs in the second one.
Yeah.
And they do the baby hand thing, but like, now he's got baby legs. And then more Dopinder. And it's just like, they just did everything like two or three times more, and it didn't make a better movie.
I didn't like any of the Deadpools.
I know, you
told me. To me, it's like try hard white frat guy funny, and it's like I recognize these jokes are good, like these are well crafted jokes, but the way Ryan Reynolds delivers it, and like, here's the thing, I know he is Deadpool, like he is like that, he is the character. But I'm like, maybe I just don't like them. That's why, and it's another self-reference, but that's why I made the character in our movie Stanley, because I'm like, this to me is what Deadpool should have been. Like, someone that's, like, actually funny and, like, can,
I think,
like,
they're both very similar.
Yeah, that was the idea.
Yeah. And Josh Brolin, you look like fucking Cable, but you're not Cable, bitch.
It should have been Keira Knightley. Fuck you for teasing that and then not following through with that joke. That would have been awesome. At the end of Deadpool 1, he's like... and Cable's gonna be in the next one. It's like, maybe we'll get Keira Knightley for that.
Exactly.
Talk about how genius that would have been. But no.
Shout out to Zazie Beetz as Domino, though.
Oh, dude, she's
fucking amazing.
She's incredible in Atlanta. Don't see her in this.
Yeah, exactly. But she does very good.
She is good. She's always good.
And then and before I give it to Chris, one more shitty movie that pissed me off and that got a lot of praise. Crazy Rich Asians. Shitty movie.
Didn't see it.
I don't give a fuck who you are. Fuck that movie. It's fucking boring. I think his name's John
M. Chu.
John M. Chu sucks dicks as a director.
He's a bad director.
And he didn't all of a sudden get better. He sucks. He has sucked and did suck. Yes. He has not gotten better at all. He doesn't know how to fucking make movies.
Standard ass filming.
Yeah, dude, he's fucking
everything.
Dumb. And just because he has high production value and high budget doesn't make a good ass movie. No. Everyone sucks. Sorry. Everyone's a good actor outside of this movie. Shout out to Awkwafina. And that's it. Crazy Rich Asians sucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? It's a great segue because that movie got rave reviews and everybody was like, please go see it. Go support, you know, Asian cinema or whatever. And the movie that I'm going to talk about is getting incredible reviews through the roof. It's making fucking filmmakers' top 10 lists. Damn. And I still don't see why. Because I thought it was fucking awful. A Star is Born.
Dang, I thought, forgot that you hated that movie.
I thought A Star is Born was fucking... Look, I've been saying this. I'm not saying the filmmaking's bad. I'm not saying it's badly done. I'm not saying it's badly shot. The contrary. Very well shot. Great direction from Bradley Cooper's end. I'm like, you know what? It's just the source material that's trash. Dude, talk about glorifying a toxic couple. And ending it with the tragedy to make it seem like... Oh, how sweet. She's still, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, like that was a terrible relationship from the get go. And the shit he said to her is like,
let me take a look at you.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I don't even get me started in his voice. This is Bradley Cooper that entire movie. Well, you gotta be there. And then Sam Elliott, if that isn't bad enough, now he's aging. Well, you got near. And there's literally a moment, and I laughed in the theater because Bradley Cooper and Sam Elliott go face to face, and they're having like a conversation. There's like here, well, that's me. You, why didn't you sell that land belong to Dad? Well, you didn't do it to Dad from the beginning. It's like, but I didn't tell you, dude. And I'm like, I can't understand a thing any of you fuckers are saying.
Great.
Terrible.
And then random Dave Chappelle appears,
and he's a fucking enabler. I'm not okay. Minor spoiler. So Dave Chappelle's character finds Bradley Cooper. passed out in front of his house, passed out drunk. The characters are drunk. He picks him up and he's like, yo, man, it's weird being famous. They have like this little one-on-one. And he sees, he literally picked his friend up off the street. Hey, you look like you're in pretty bad shape. And as soon as Lady Gaga's character come in, what does he recommend? Hey, why don't you two get married? It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Why would you, the friend that you just saw is not doing good. I will get to that. Well, anyway, point is, Enabler, terrible, terrible script, terrible fucking source material. I don't know why people are worshiping this movie and praising it as one of the greatest love stories. Like, no, it's not. It's terrible. Like, I feel like Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga know this is an example of codependency and how dangerous that is. But I guess they kind of get lost now in the vanity of it. They're just like, yeah, we made a great movie. And they kind of forgot why they made it, I feel like. But I will say, Shallow is probably the best song. It's funny enough, Shallow is the best movie song this year. I'm on the deep end. That's great. I love it. Murder you. Far from the Shallow. Yeah, bad movie, great song.
There you go. Chris got it off his chest.
Thank you. Go ahead, Angel. Fire all away. Right,
the final five shitty movies. Pew, pew, pew. Hey, remember we were talking about how dope Phil Lord and Chris Miller are?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Solo sucks. And yes, it would have been fucking good if they stayed on it. I fuck that movie. I'm so upset. I don't even think I can talk about it because I remember almost nothing.
Yeah.
And there was moments where I was like, yes, this guy is Han Solo. But it was just surrounded by shit that it didn't matter.
You know what was the biggest letdown for me? Donald Glover. I love Donald Glover, but he was bad in this.
Hey, this is me. I talk like this.
This is unbelievable. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you trying to talk like Billy Dee Williams? Like, just do your own thing.
Yeah, that was stupid.
It's pretty bad.
Rest in peace. But
did he die?
No. Oh, Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah.
No,
I
meant rest in peace, just like the fucking, I don't think he's going to come back. Maybe he will. I don't know.
Oh.
As no, in the character,
not.
Like,
no, he's not coming back.
Rest in peace, shitty performance.
Yeah, bad performance.
Shitty SJW robot. Who the fuck okayed that?
She was funny.
You fucking know, Chris.
I loved it. I thought that's it was hilarious.
Sucks. And then, but I will end it on a kind of good note. One of my favorite moments, I don't remember the line specifically, but I think Emilia Clarke tells Han Solo, like, are you going to stick around or something like that? Then he just, like, looks at Chewie. Then he looks back at her. He doesn't say anything, and he just shakes his head. I was like, what a Han Solo thing to do. Like, he's not even going to say anything. And I was like, that's Han Solo. Where the fuck were you this whole movie? Yeah. You do that shit at the end? Fuck you. So that was mad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty dull.
And now we're getting into movies that have nothing to redeem them. Absolutely fucking nothing.
I love the precision of this.
They were the worst, dude. A Wrinkle in Time. What a piece of shit. Sorry, Ava DuVernay. You're fucking amazing as a person. But goddamn, did you make a shitty ass movie. Wow. With a fucking 10, with a 100 foot tall Oprah. Everyone sucked.
Dude, imagine she comes up to you and she hears it. She's like, sorry.
I would tell her, like, you didn't make a good movie.
Wow.
And it sucks.
And he would. Angel has the balls. I would probably backfire. Like, look, when I say shitty,
I would just be like, I'm not going to fucking be fake with you. That movie sucked.
That's good.
I'm sure there's lots of kids that fucking love it. And I'm sure everyone that is your friend loves it.
That is your friend, yeah, loves it.
But just like, I can't be like, yeah, it was a good movie. Like, that shit sucks. I will tell anyone. Like, if I ever meet fucking Darren Aronofsky, I'm gonna tell him Mother sucks ass.
Fuck that. I would tell him to his face. I don't respect him as a director. Fuck that guy.
So I would never go up to Ava and tell her that Wrinkle in Time sucks ass. But if she asks me what my opinion of it is, I'd be like, honestly, it's a bad movie.
Wow.
It wasn't the worst, but it was number 4 on my top 10 worst movies. Everyone was bad. The worst actor, whoever the fuck this kid was that played Cornwallis. No, his name wasn't Cornwallis. It was something Wallace.
Yeah, I didn't watch the movie.
It was fucking dumb. But best character, Chris Pine. Fuck, man. Chris Pine, dope as fuck. Always and forever in everything he does. Even in even in Wonder Woman, which was also one of the shittiest movies of the year it came out. Chris Pine was fucking fantastic. Wow. So Wrinkle in Time, fuck you.
He was in Spider-Verse too. He played Spider-Man.
Yeah, see? He takes over everything good.
He's wonderful.
Wrinkle in Time, fuck you. Shitty. Next one. another great director made a shitty movie. Ready Player One. What a fucking shitty. What a shit fest. Fuck this movie. And it's how it pretends to understand, like, pop culture. Like
geek culture, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Let's fucking put Overwatch and Master Chief and do random references to things. There's all these YouTubers that have done way better reviews of this movie than me. My favorite fucking Your Movie Sucks' review on Ready Player One is fantastic. And it says everything I wanted to say about it. But goddamn, I left that movie being like, fuck you, Steven Spielberg. You think you fucking made a good movie? That shit sucks. I was like, Lena Waithe, you also sucked in this movie, dude. Yeah. Like, I was like, what the fuck? I mean, get that paycheck, but damn, you're fucking boring. And then Discount Miles Teller was in this
Everybody calls this kid that. I call him Discount Tom Hardy.
Dude, he's fucking... No, he's definitely Discount Miles Teller. Man. I was like, this is Miles Teller with some, like, digital face reconstruction, but it wasn't. Fuck, Miles man. That guy sucks. And then the girl from Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Olivia Cook.
Yeah, fuck, man. I'm so ugly. You wouldn't like me in real life.
With my
birthmark. Yeah, like, with like a little birthmark on her eye. Everything. And other than that, she's fucking gorgeous. Like, fuck you.
Ah. I will say, you said no redeemable things. There was one minor thing. Chucky's appearance was dope.
Why?
Like, that was Chucky. Funny because he's like, ah! No. Okay. Oh, no. The Shining sequence. The Shining sequence. That's it. That's the only thing.
Okay.
Chucky and the Shining sequence. Those were sick.
You know what? All right, I'll change it. Ready Player One's my fourth least favorite.
Because The Shining.
We're going times number three now.
The Shining sequence was
no, awesome. And I will also say I loved watching a Gundam fight a Mechagodzilla. Mm. That was cool. Have more of that shit. But no. Oh, no. You know what? Fucking Ready Player One staying at three. Only because Steven Spielberg's dumbass turned the Iron Giant into killing machine. Fuck you for destroying everything the character stands for. He's not a gun. That's the whole movie, you dumbass. Like, did you even watch it? Or you just saw a fucking big dumb robot and you're like, let's throw that in the movie. I was so insulted.
That's true.
Anyway.
But that Shining sequence, that was sick.
Let's continue. That just stays number three. Number two worst movie. Fuck you, Tom Hardy. Venom sucks.
I didn't see that. It
like, why did you do that? Why did you let them make such a shitty movie? Jonathan Justin Jimenez will say, it wasn't bad. It was a dumb movie with some good action. Action sucks ass. It's just a CGI fuck fest. Nothing good about this movie. Everything sucks. Even Tom Hardy's performance. Everyone says it's a good performance. It's not. It's bad. He's stupid and dumb.
People make fun of his accent like, hey, talk like this.
And yeah. I don't know. I'm from Brooklyn or Boston or something. He's a dumb. Like, he sounds stupid, and people are like, is this character mentally challenged? Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, no.
Just sucks. Venom sucks. The shitty Carnage reveal at the end credits scene was so shitty. Woody Harrelson's like fucking 50 years old and he's playing Carnage. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck this movie. Riz Ahmed, you're a fucking good actor, but goddamn, you are a shitty villain.
I don't care for Riz Ahmed. Everybody raves about that dude. I'm like, I hate him in Rogue One. I thought he was okay in Nightcrawler.
Okay, only okay, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, Venom. Oh God, I know what number one is.
Duh, I haven't been talking about it. Number one, I will preface this with, after watching Venom, I was like, there's no way a movie can be worse than this movie. Venom sucks. And then I see Halloween with Chris and Justin. And not only is it a bad movie, not even is it the worst movie of 2018, I'm pissed that people like it. That people love it.
Oh, I love it.
That Justin, that it made Chris's top fucking best movies of 2018 baffles me. This movie was garbage from start to finish, with the only good thing to come out of it is that cool song that comes out. Like, cool song, but it's a shitty movie. Everything about it is wrong. It's like, there's everything about it. And I will say this. When people are like, like Chris has told me this. He goes, Hey, Michael's just a killing machine. He's just going around doing his thing. Oh, really? If he's a mindless killing machine, why doesn't he kill the kids when he bumps into them on the street? Why doesn't he kill that baby?
Okay, do you want him to see it? No, you want to see him kill a baby?
That's what you respond with. But I want a reason he doesn't kill those kids or he kills that baby. He's making choices. He's acting on some sort of, like, rules. But they never tell us what these rules are. He's like, oh, I kill adults. But then he also kills that kid in the truck. So he's not... He's not killing kids. He can kill... He does kill kids. But for some reason, he doesn't once he gets to the town. Tell me why. Give me some reason for why this guy is doing what he's doing. Like, we'll get into that. Like Rob Zombie's Michael Myers. He has purpose. He has goals. He's got a fucking path. But this new Michael Myers... is fucking stupid, and fuck Danny McBride for contributing to this script and that stupid bun me sandwich scene. The fucking dumbest shit in the movie.
We're gonna get in. We're gonna tear these movies apart in a future episode.
I will end it quoting myself when we were talking. I'm just gonna say this: that movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah,
and I'm ending it there. Wow, 2018, you were full of shitty movies. And yeah, some good ones. But I think I saw more bad ones than good. Like, it was so easy for me to make this top 10 worst.
Yeah, let's do it worst. I'm like, I didn't see any bad movies.
Yeah, and I saw them all. Fuck, man.
You look winded.
Yeah. So that was it.
That was our recommendations.
If you want to laugh and watch some bad movies, watch those, man.
Sure.
And that's the end of season one.
Yeah.
Of the Us Podcast.
That's it.
This is the end.
My only friend.
The end.
I am gonna miss having something to post every Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
Making those promos, like, hey, what's
up? Hey, we can still make promos. We can still promote old episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll think of something to fill up our time. But
we'll keep the page alive, the IG alive, because we're taking like a 6 month hiatus.
Oh yeah, 6 months until you see us, baby.
I do want to end with one story. We went to the movies to see Spider-Man after Quesarama, mm-hmm. And we hung out with Joel and his friend Valley, And I remember we were talking about, like, what's going to happen now? I'm like, yeah, we're going to take a 6 month break or whatever. And then Joe goes, are you guys going to take a break from each other? And I don't know why. Like,
No. Joel asked, Joel told Chris, oh, I asked Angel if he's going to take a break from you for these 6 months. And Chris looks at me like, oh, what did you say? And then Joel's like, oh, he said no, he's not going to. And then Chris's like, oh, God.
Whew. Yeah, I was like, I don't want to take a break from Angel. I just want to not do the podcast.
We still have shit to do.
Yeah,
like that's what's hopefully gonna take up our time. It's like, just because we're not doing the podcast doesn't mean we're gonna have a 6 month vacation.
Yeah,
we still gotta grind our fucking asses off.
Yes,
and y'all should know that Chris Carmona finished draft one of Gage Bowl.
Yes, that's what it's called. That's the script I've been working on since we started this podcast.
Yeah, Gage Bull is done for now.
Yeah.
And so we'll see.
And, you know, I felt really proud when I finished it, because I was just like, whoa, dude, like, I haven't been able to write a feature, like, in a full year. And to write another one by myself, like, completely with no outside feedback, just like me, like, just kind of throwing my ideas to myself. It was a good challenge, and I'm glad I got to do it, and I can't wait to write more now that I got the flow going.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in 6 months, where Gage Bowl's at then.
Yes.
And we'll see where the high concept is.
Angel Show.
Dude, it's going to be a good time. Like, once we season two is going to start off with a bang. I can feel it.
Yeah.
It's going to be super cool. But until then, listen to some old episodes.
Yeah.
Hit us up on IG. Follow us on what we're doing in this little break of ours.
Please.
And we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
Wow. This is it. Like, we just sing it again. This is the end.
Goodbye.
See ya.
We'll miss you.
Yeah. Bye. Hey everybody, thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast.
You can follow us on our Instagram at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at @angelisalinas_.
And you can follow me at @thechriscarmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us a review.
Please, that helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Please.
Please. All right. Bye.
They put it pretty good.